As was announced, scripture reading is coming from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Again, that's 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Let a woman learn in silence and with all submission. Again, that was 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11.
Good to be here tonight. We appreciate everyone's presence this evening. As always, we hope everyone had a good afternoon. We now are here to focus our minds on spiritual things and particularly the Word of God and the other acts of worship in which we engage. This morning, if you were here, you remember that we started doing kind of an overview of what the week is going to be like in our summer series, though it will be a little bit different. I said this morning that the men that are going to be speaking, that they're going to take a look at different women, six different women in the Bible. And so we look forward to that. As I said this morning, I'm sure that they'll do a great job. Three of the men, of course, are some of the men from this congregation who always do a good job in proclaiming the gospel of Christ. So we look forward to what they have to say to us and the good lessons that we'll learn from the women that we mentioned this morning. Those women will be Eve and Sarah and Abigail, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and then Mary and Martha. And each man will take one of those women. Of course, on Friday night, I believe it's John Sueno. He'll take Mary and Martha. But this morning I said that we're just going to, as we open up on this Lord's Day, just look at women and the Bible. And the reason for that is because there's such a misunderstanding of the Bible so far as its treatment of women are concerned, in the place of women in the Bible. And mostly in the religious world today, it's very negative. Most people in the world believe that the Bible is anti-woman. And that's not the case at all. And so we began looking at some myths that are out there. First of all, we said myth number one, the Bible teaches that men are more valuable than women. That is a myth. That is a devil's lie. We understand the Bible simply doesn't teach that anywhere at any time. Instead, women are held up as people of honor. And we see that while the world is very anti-woman in a lot of different ways, the Bible never says anything negative with regard to women as a group. The Bible doesn't say harsh things about women. Instead, the Bible lifts women up. And the purpose, or the reason I should say for that, is because women were created in the image of God just like men. And so we realize, as we said this morning, that God created man in stages. He created man and then later created woman. And he did that on purpose. He wanted man to see how much he needed woman. And so we find when God finally created woman that now you had a complete whole. And that's mankind. God created man, both male and female, in his image. And so the value of woman is rooted in that creation narrative. And we looked at that a little bit this morning. Myth number two is the Bible teaches that women should not seek to have a voice. And that's just wrong. The Bible doesn't encourage women not to have a voice. We said that, yes, there's a passage that where Peter emphasizes that women should have a gentle and quiet spirit, but that doesn't have to do with what women say, but more how they say it. And in that context, we realize that that's just saying that they are to be meek and humble. And the fact of the matter is all of us should be meek and humble. We know that Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. There is nothing negative about that passage. at all. And we observed that it's very interesting that Peter, in demonstrating that, he says to the women, you ought to be like the women of old, holy women of old. And he gave Sarah as an example. Sarah, one of the women that will be looked at this week. He gave her as an example of a woman who has a gentle and quiet spirit. And yet we know she had a voice in her home. And we looked at that this morning. And so the Bible simply doesn't teach that women should not have or seek to have a voice. That's not biblical submission at all. It is a misunderstanding of biblical submission. Now, for just a little while, we want to look at one more myth. And that is myth number three. The Bible teaches that women should not teach or lead. That's a myth. That is another devil's lie. Now, why do people think that? People think that because it is true that the role of women is restricted in the church. And we're not ashamed of that. We don't run away from that at all. We simply believe what the Bible clearly teaches with regard to that. I am a proud card-carrying complementarian. And when you think of the religious world, there are two groups of people with regard to this issue. There's the complementarian, and then there's the egalitarian. And there is, you may not know it, but there is a hot debate in the religious world, an ongoing debate between those two groups of people. It is really quite fascinating to watch it unfold. I've told you before that the Southern Baptist Church has had difficulties and problems in this regard for years. And it all centers around whether or not women should be preachers and pastors and that sort of thing. And the Southern Baptist Church, of course, in their tenets of faith and all of that, they have always believed that women should not be preachers and pastors. They're complementarian. But they've had some problems. The former president, Jimmy Carter, he got upset with that. He threatened them. He was their most famous member, being the president of the United States. He said he was going to leave, and they started looking into changing that. And I can't recall, I believe they actually did change it. I'm not 100% sure about that, but they were leaning in that direction heavily. But ultimately, there was too much pushback, and they didn't change, or they changed right back. And so he left. And that was several years ago. But now, even today, there's an ongoing problem. They're in disarray right now. They're one of the men who associates himself with the Southern Baptist Church is Rick Warren. And he's the one who wrote The Purpose-Driven Church and The Purpose-Driven Life. And he's the so-called pastor, the lead pastor of the Saddleback Church in Anaheim. And it's the largest church within that denomination. And a couple of years ago, he brought in two women to be associate pastors. And that just made everyone mad. And so now there are a lot of people, the president of one of their famous colleges and others, who are crying that the Saddleback Church needs to be excommunicated or withdrawn from, or whatever terminology they use. And it's just a mess. And it's not just them. This is a problem really throughout denominational churches. So you say, what really is the difference between a complementarian and an egalitarian? Well, let's take a look at that just quickly. The complementarians believe that while men and women are equal in worth and value in the home, in the church, and in society in general, there is a God-made distinction between masculinity and femininity, and that they complement each other to make a more beautiful whole. Which basically is what I taught this morning. Again, God making man in stages, but finally completed that creation, and now man and woman are one beautiful home that complement each other. And that's basically, and I'll get into a little more detail here in just a second, but that's basically what the complementarians believe. And I would consider myself one of them. And the fact of the matter is, those who are egalitarians have no biblical base to stand on at all. This is what they believe. They believe in human equality concerning social, political, economical, and religious affairs. Now, no problem with the first few things there that is mentioned. We probably all agree that there ought to be equality in some of these areas, but it's the religious affairs that get them in trouble. Regarding religious affairs, they believe that there are no gender restrictions on what roles men and women can occupy in the church. Now listen carefully. It may be that there's a hot debate within denominational churches about this. But when it comes down to faithful churches of Christ, there is no debate. The truth is, you cannot be an egalitarian and be a Christian at the same time because they believe too many things that are anti-scriptural. And I'll show you that here right now. The egalitarians believe men and women can both hold church leadership positions. Where's the passage for that? I can show you passages that would condemn that kind of thinking, but where's the passage that says that both men and women can hold church leadership positions? Is there any passage that you know of? That's what they say. That's what they fight for. That's what they're arguing for. But they can't produce any passages to back that up. And so it's anti-scriptural. It's opposed to what the Bible actually teaches. It's unscriptural because the Bible says nothing about women being in leadership positions in the church. But that's what the egalitarian believes. They believe that spouses are equally responsible for the family. Where's the passage? They're talking about there in the providing for and the taking care of the needs of the family. Where's the passage? It's because they believe in equality in every realm. Marriage is a partnership, they believe, of two people with equal authority. Where's the passage for that? I can show you in just a minute. We'll look at it. I can show you passages that would condemn that kind of thinking. But where's the passage that they can set forth and say, this is why I'm an egalitarian? It's because the Bible teaches that they can't produce any passages. It's only opinion. It's only what feels good to people, what people think is right, what is politically correct and so on. But there's no Bible for it. Let me give you one more. Roles, particularly in the home, should be ability-based and not gender-based. Where does the Bible teach that? It does not. That's why I said a moment ago, you cannot be an egalitarian. There are those, I said, that faithful local churches of Christ would not take any of those positions. Faithful churches of Christ. That's not to say there aren't churches of Christ who are fighting for gender equality and that sort of thing. There are several doing that. We've talked about that in the past. But a faithful local congregation is not going to teach or practice any of these things. Now, let's look at the other side of it. The complementarian beliefs. And the truth is, these are just terms that men are using right now in this debate. Complementarianism and egalitarianism aren't biblical terms. They're not found in the Bible. And the fact of the matter is, I could put a line through that and just put Bible beliefs if I wanted to. Because those who are complementarians simply believe what the Bible says on these issues. And I'll show you this. Very quickly, only men can hold church leadership positions over other men. Got a passage in there, don't I? It's what the Bible clearly teaches. Let's read it. I know you're familiar with it, but let's read it anyway. 1 Timothy chapter 2, this is what Paul writes. And again, I know we've already covered this morning. These are the kind of passages that those who believe that the Bible is misogynistic and contrary to women and try to push women down, these are the passages that they would use. They love to hate passages like this. But we can't deny it. Here's what it says. Verse 11. Let a woman learn quietly with all submissiveness. Now watch. Paul said, I do not permit. Now again, the egalitarian would come along and say, well, yeah, but that passage, that's just Paul who is demonstrating his cultural bias. Paul basically, and I've had people on the radio say this directly, Paul was a male chauvinist only because of the kind of culture in which he grew up. All men were male chauvinists back then. No, that has nothing to do with what Paul writes here. Paul was an inspired apostle of Christ. He was an ambassador of Christ. He spoke in the stead of Christ. His commandments were commandments of the Lord. So when Paul says, I do not permit, that is exactly the same thing as Jesus saying that. It's God saying that. Speaking through an inspired apostle. And so God says, I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over a man. Rather, she is to remain quiet. That's what the Bible teaches, whether we like it or not. Whether that makes everyone happy, whatever conclusion people come to, that's Bible teaching. And that is what the complementarian believes. Number two, in the home, the father is the spiritual leader and the head of the house. Let's read the passage again. I know you're familiar with it, but let's get it before us. Ephesians chapter 5. I think we may have read this morning, but let's look at verse 23. Ephesians chapter 5. And the verse is 23. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, at verse 23, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, these are pretty much plain passages, aren't they? Let's read it again. For the husband is the head of the wife. Who says that? Don Wright? No. Is that just Paul's opinion? No. He's an inspired apostle. This is the word of God. In the home, the husband is to be the spiritual leader. Why? Because that's the way God arranged it. God has the right to do that. He's the one who ordained and instituted family in the very first place. So the husband is to be the spiritual leader in the home. Furthermore, a man must love his wife and a woman must submit to her husband. That's the rest of this in Ephesians chapter 5. In fact, back up to verse 22, it says, wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. Don't forget what we said this morning. Biblical submission simply means the wife accepts the final authority of her husband. Doesn't mean she doesn't have a voice. Doesn't mean she can't play a part in decision making in the home. Husband and wives are a team. They work together if they want to have a magnificent marriage. But at the end of the day, someone has to have final authority. And God said it's the man. And so the woman submits herself to her own husband. Verse 24, now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's a responsibility, a God-given responsibility to husbands. Yes, we may be in a position of authority in the home. Yes, we might be the spiritual leaders, but we dare not abuse that position. If we do, we have to answer to God for that. Our job is to love our wives, to always act in their best interest, to love them even as Christ loved the church. That's what complementarians believe. A man must provide for his family. It is not the co-responsibility. Yes, there's some ways and some sense that wives, that women, that mothers have responsibilities in the home, but that's not really what they're dealing with. So far as taking care of the needs of the family, providing for the family financially, that falls upon the husband. If a man won't work, Paul said, neither should he eat. If a man is unwilling to provide for his family, he has departed from the faith and he's worse than an infidel. He's worse than an unbeliever. The Bible never says that about the wife, because the husband is the one who bears that responsibility. Now, I understand that in our society today, listen, this is not a rant against women working outside of the home and that sort of thing. However you feel about that, that's not what this is about. We're talking about a responsibility. It's not the responsibility of the wife to provide financially for the family. That's the responsibility of the husband. If a wife wants to work outside the home and she can still meet her God-given responsibility to be the caretaker of the home, the homemaker, then that's a decision that husband and wives have to make. And it is the case in our economic situation today that sometimes wives are almost forced to work outside of the home to make ends meet. And the only thing I would say about that is that when that is the case, then husbands, on the basis of fairness, should help the wives out. So there's nothing wrong. Again, if a woman wants to work outside of the home and it doesn't interfere with her role, her God-given role, that's a decision that they make. But she still has a responsibility to be the homemaker. Ah, but I'm working long hours. You still have the responsibility to be the homemaker. And the husband, if it's the case that you cannot on your own provide for your family and your wife has to help out, then there's nothing wrong with you washing a dish or two or doing some laundry or running the sweeper or whatever. Fair is fair, after all. But so far as responsibility goes, as far as the God-given roles go, the husband is the one who is to provide for his family. Why? Because that's what the Bible teaches. That's what the complementarian teaches and believes. And so, as we think about these things, now you look at all of that and you say, well, what does that have to do really with it? It sounds to me like that's not, number three is not a myth at all, that women then should not be teachers or leaders. No, that's not the case. They're just restricted in their teaching and leadership. They cannot exercise authority over men. But listen to me carefully. Women can and do and should teach and be leaders. They can teach children. And that is very significant. Listen to me carefully. Do not roll your eyes or shake your head. Do not think anything negative in your mind when I say that. You hear me pray all the time for the women who teach the children in the back. That is of the utmost importance. It should not be devalued in any form or fashion. It is very valuable to the cause of Christ. Furthermore, the women can teach and should teach and must teach their own children. That's a part of being the homemaker. Things, again, are confused and mixed up today because of our society, but originally, in God's plan, the man goes out and makes a living for the family, and the wife takes care of the home. A part of that is teaching and raising the children. And the fact of the matter, and the husband has a very important role in that too, but he's gone all day. And so most of the time spent with the children in those circumstances are with the godly woman in the home. And the fact of the matter is that, again, is of the utmost importance. In fact, I would say to you that that work in shaping and forming the minds of those children is as important as any job, any occupation that a man could ever have in the secular realm. And we need to view it like that. We need to think of it like that. So women can teach. They can teach their children. They can, at Bible classes, and their own children. And older women can teach the younger women how to be good wives and how to love their husbands. Titus chapter 2 at verse 5. And that, again, is of the utmost importance. And women can evangelize. They can teach other people about Jesus. We all remember what Priscilla did with the great preacher Apollos, took him aside along with her husband. They together taught him, informed him of things he didn't know. All of that is very important. And again, you don't devalue that. And so when we think, well, can women teach and lead? Yes, within the bounds of the Scriptures, doing what God wants them to do without usurping or exercising authority over the man, they can do a whole lot of teaching and leading. And it's very valuable. In fact, I would say to you that we would be in a mess in local congregations without faithful, godly sisters. We probably couldn't even survive. Long term, at least. They're very, very valuable. So this idea where the Bible teaches that women should not teach or lead, that's a myth. It's a devil's lie. And we should never, ever buy into that. They can and they do a great work. As we begin to wrap it up, do you know that women helped finance the personal ministry of Christ? A lot of people don't know that. Obscure passage people don't think about, but that's a fact. It's unheard of in the days of Christ. But women help support his, financially, his personal ministry. Read the passage. Do you know that women were the first to evangelize, telling others about the resurrection of Christ? Did you know that Paul, and you know he's the one who is supposed to be anti-woman, misogynistic and all of that people claim about Paul. But did you know that Paul, in closing his epistle to the brethren at Rome, commended at least 9 women for their great help in furthering the cause of Christ? That is a fact. The truth is, when we talk about women and the teaching that they can do, that is, does that devalue them? To say that they're restricted and their leadership and teaching. No, that's not degrading to women. Is it misogynistic? No, not at all. Is it disrespectful? No. Listen to me carefully. You ask any man who is faithful to God, strong in the church, doing good things for Christ, you ask any man in that position to make a list of all of those over the period of his life who have had influence on him and his spirituality, and I guarantee you that there will be women on that list. In almost every situation. Maybe there's a few exceptions to that. 99% of the time, there would be women on that list. There would be mothers. There would be Bible class teachers. There would be grandmothers. There would be wives. There would be women on that list. Because women have great influence spiritually over man, over men, just in staying within their bounds of authority, Not usurping any authority, just teaching children, helping husbands, being the helper and teaching and sharing their wisdom and intelligence. They're of great, great value in the cause of Christ. And shame on us if we ever think otherwise. Why, I'm happy that we're having this series of lessons this week where we're focusing just on women. They don't get enough attention, and they should. But know this, the Bible always lifts them up and gives them far more honor than the world ever has. Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. And Proverbs 31 at verse 30 says, favor is deceitful and beauty vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. We must respect and honor the women that we have. Are you subject to the invitation of Christ? If you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, you have an opportunity tonight to do that. Thank God that He has set forth a plan of salvation, that He brought forth a Savior, born of a woman, by the way. He brought forth a Savior who took on a human body only to become the propitiation for our sins on the cross. He died on that cross of Calvary, and now we can be cleansed by His precious blood. Those of us who are Christians have experienced that. If you're not a Christian, you can avail yourself of that powerful blood this very night. You simply need to believe in Jesus and be baptized. Acts 2 at verse 38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You can do that tonight. Don't procrastinate. Don't hesitate. If you're not a Christian, this may be your last chance. You don't know. I'm not trying to scare anyone, but we just don't know. Jesus can come back tonight, and what shape will you be in if you haven't obeyed the gospel? Do the right thing. Come to the Lord and do it right now as we're together. Stand and sing.